الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الكريم. حضرت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم at arrival at Medina Munawwara, and there were 2 days that people would rejoice and celebrate: Nowruz and Mihrjan. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam announced that Allah Ta'ala has replaced you with 2 days far greater than these days. One is the Eid of Ramadan, and the other is the Eid al-Adha. So, the Eid of Ramadan, we rejoice and we cheer up. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with fasting for the entire month. Of our own, we couldn't have done it. It is the blessing of Allah Ta'ala that fasting in this month will be easier than not fasting. The whole world is fasting, and if you opt not to fast, that may be a difficult thing. So He's blessed you with the gift of fasting throughout the month. So as a day of rejoicing and showing appreciation, when we fast, we will celebrate and rejoice on this one day, commencing with ibadat, 2 rakats of namaz, and some nasir given by the imam, and then we proceed. Then the second day of celebration is the Eid al-Adha and the Bakra Eid. So then to be rejoiced, because the day before Eid al-Adha was the day of Arafat, and millions of people are forgiven on that day. So for this bounty and this blessing of Allah Ta'ala, again we've got a moment of rejoicing. And both occasions, we start off with remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with any type of other entertainment that may be wrong and that may be corrupt. Islam recognizes human psychology and human feelings, inhibitions. So it wasn't totally dry that Islam doesn't take cognizance of your feelings, emotions and sentiments. There are times that you will rejoice, you will cheer up, and you will express the happiness. Someone is married, so you will express happiness by inviting them to a walima. Someone has got a child, you will again express happiness by doing the aqiqah. So there are going to be moments of happiness, and those moments of happiness, cheer and happiness is expressed, and has to be expressed. A lot of other things will be done, we'll meet relatives, talk to them, and if there are any scores to settle, we'll settle them, and again we become one united brotherhood. Right? So, there are moments that Islam has blessed us to rejoice, and it will not be said that to rejoice on that day is impermissible. In the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some little children were singing on the day of Eid, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu expressed his reservations, and Nabi Sallam cautioned him that لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ عِيدٌ وَهَذَا عِيدُنَا. This is every people have a day of celebration and rejoicing. We will have this day, and his little children, little 5-6 years of age, so some of the things that they will do will be overlooked. We will not say now this is shaitani. Why? Because of the age. And they'll be singing something not professional in their singing and not using any words that may be wrong or misleading. So his little children, and that is overlooked. Similarly, at the time of grief and pain, to express some emotions, the Bism hadn't stopped it. Al-Ainani Latad Ma'an. Time of grief and sorrow, someone has lost a child, and the eyes are rolling with tears, so we will not stop that person. Islam has allowed you to express the sorrow and grief at the time that it's supposed to be expressed. So natural inhibitions and responses have been recognized by the Sharia, has been recognized by Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sahaba Ikram had left when they didn't have the mounts to join and join in the expedition with Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Pak speaks in praise of them, تَوَلَّوْا أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. When they couldn't afford the journey and they couldn't join up with Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, though it's a matter of life and death, but the pain of not being with Rasul Pak was so much in them that they returned home with their eyes streaming with tears that they couldn't participate in this expedition with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the moments of grief and the moments of cheer, and the Shariat has recognized these two situations. But obviously, everything in this world seems nice when it's in its proper place. When it's not in its proper place, then as good as it may be looking at, it may be seeming at, but you'll say it's the most ugliest of things. Why it's not placed in the right place. The thing that brings about the beauty and enhances the looks of a person, the skin and the hair and the nails. These are the three things that enhances the beauty of a person. So as long as these three are in their places, then it's looked at with beauty, with attraction and admiration. But clip those nails, trim that hair, and take out the skin and leave it somewhere on the shelf, say, it's so ugly, nauseating. Just now it looked like the most attractive thing. Out of place is the most ugliest of things. So what Islam will tell you, do things, but do it in the proper times and the proper places for it to have the full appreciation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But out of that time, beyond the barriers, then that will be the most disgraceful, nauseating and wrong thing. So the season we're going through now, they call it the silly season, right? So now, what is supposed to be the Muslim's behavior around this time of the year? How are we supposed to be behaving? What are we supposed to be doing? Do we go with the crowd, go with the tide, or Islam has recognized our feelings and also guided us in these type of occasions as well? So overall, the Shariat means good for us. It's a blessing and it is a bounty for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just that sometimes we don't understand the bounty and therefore we have some reservations. The reservation is not because it's wrong or it's incorrect, but we haven't understood it correctly. If you understood it correctly, then there's no problems. But now, we didn't understand, then the next best thing is to try and work out and understand someone that knows about it, alright, what's the barriers here, what are the boundaries, and then he may explain to you the wisdom in the boundaries as well. So, Islam has got its boundaries, and Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hasn't left us as orphans and as poor people, no. He left us very wealthy, so we don't depend and we don't require any adulteration, anything new, anything that is foreign. We don't need it to come into Islam. If someone is doing a wedding and bringing in Christian values or Hindu values and adding all this to the wedding, and he says, what's wrong in it, right? So yes, Rasul has shown us the boundaries, and we live within the boundaries, we don't go beyond. Yes, it is a sentimental moment, a moment of happiness, perhaps a never repeated wedding, right? Sometimes it's a mayyat, and one year time you have it, once in occasion you have it. But now, are you allowed to do whatever you want at that time? Or you've been guarded and you have been saved by certain boundaries, yes. Some certain boundaries have been put in place just to save you and just to protect you. So you won't go beyond the boundaries. You'll live within the boundaries, and living within the boundaries is for your own savior. فَلَا تَقُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَعَ الْقُومِ الصَّالِمِينَ. So the ruling in the Quran is that don't be around the wrong, sinful people, wrong places, wrong people, wrong discussions, wrong content, wrong food, etc. So don't be around there. And in many a situation, we are applying this concept as well. If you see someone drugging, and your child is sitting around the person that is drugging, then you will caution him, and perhaps you may caution him with a lot of firmness. You won't want to see him there again, because you know what that can do to him. But these are wrongs that you identify and recognize, and they are wrongs that you don't recognize and don't identify. So these are, like, this is one place that you will caution your children, etc., because you know what could be the ramifications. So the Sharia also will tell you places, people, content, food of doubt and not right, don't be around. Today you'll be with them, and tomorrow if you want to also join their culture, what will happen to your clothing, what will happen to the behavior of your daughters, of your children, what will happen to them? They'll want to now, they'll get impressed or overwhelmed, and they want to join to that culture, they want to behave like them. And before you know it, and then now he's very is doubtful, and he's got some reservations of his own deen. But before this mixing up, he had no reservations of his deen, it was clear. But then he mixed up, like the person that's mixing up with druggers, right? Today is just a social get-together, and tomorrow you want to experiment. So same here, today it may be just a social get-together, and tomorrow you want to then experiment. Lately there was a wedding, and the boy, the groom, comes up to the stage. So the uncle is relating the whole story. He says the groom comes up to the stage, and he actually bows down on his knees to the bride. Now, what is this? This has got nothing to do with Islam. Perhaps something adopted from Christianity or from Judaism or from Hinduism. Where did you see that you bow down before any person besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah, he's bowed down, went on to his knees. Just to show it, now sometimes you pick up something in the YouTube, etc., and it seems to have an appeal to you, it looks very exciting, and you think to yourself that this is a moment that I don't want to forget. I want to capture the moment, I don't want to forget this thing here, and we're doing this, but not realizing that we're imitating people that Rasulullah has condemned, their ways, their fashion, etc. So we are doing these things there, but we don't realize we're encroaching on borders. It was your boundary, and someone encroached onto your boundary, would that be acceptable? It's your business, it's your territory, it's your property. If someone took his horse and trailer 30 meters and he parked in your yard, is that accepted? You're encroaching. So this is the property of Allah Ta'ala, the property of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we're introducing new things, we're encroaching in the property of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How will Allah Ta'ala take it? Will He take it? Acknowledging it and acceptance? Will He say, what is wrong with this person here? He's encroaching onto my property. The Sharia is the property of Allah Ta'ala. The Sunnah is the property of Allah Ta'ala. So we don't encroach. There's an occasion just now recently again that the person is now in the nikah or a day before the nikah or 2 days before the nikah. So they say the last supper before we can close the deal, the last supper. So where is this last supper? Where are you getting it from? Call it the last supper or the last meal before closing the deal, whatever it is. But this is pure Christianity. They talk about last supper. We've got nothing to do with it. But now, do we feel inferior within ourselves? Or did Rasulullah leave us as orphans? We had to borrow from Hinduism, from Christianity, from Satanism, to make this thing work, or we do appreciate and recognize Rasulullah fully, that he's given us something, and we can't offer enough thanks, otherwise he's telling Rasulullah as though what you brought to us was deficient. Now, can there be a greater insult to the integrity of Rasulullah than this, that we are bringing something foreign and alien into his way, and that we don't feel bad about it, we don't feel any type of reservation in our minds for it. So yes, Islam has given us time and opportunities to celebrate, to cheer up. Occasions, do it within reasonable boundaries. Someone is crying, someone is cheering, the moments are right, it's something condoned by the Sharia, nobody will condemn it. But it's the wrong place, the wrong time, someone is dancing, someone is scantily dressed, someone is playing music, etc. And you are around that same culture, then won't your heart go towards it? What will happen to your children? Your children will say, alright, but my father could be around people that were scantily dressed, women scantily dressed and they're dancing away, music is blasting away. So if my father could be around, then what's wrong if I am around such places? Understand that you are a precedent, you are an example for the child. Like you would say, no, as far as drugs are concerned, I don't want to be anywhere near there. Now you enter into these open places here, open places, open culture. Culture is loose and easy, right? And the youngster's eyes fell on a girl, right? And that picture and the photo of the girl has been taken by his heart. His heart has captured it, has stored the thing, right? Now he's got a wife, and this thing is troubling his mind. Can he be faithful and honest to his wife? That honesty, that faithfulness that he's supposed to be showing to his wife is gone. It's perhaps your daughter. And he went through these places here. He saw these things here. And that overwhelmed his mind. And now that honesty, that faithfulness, that loyalty that he's supposed to be showing to your daughter is gone. But why? The environment was wrong. We see that, as I showed repeatedly, the drug, what's the effect of it? So this thing is also, what's the effect of it? Therefore the hadith has warned us, Al-mar'u ma'aman ahab. That on the day of Qiyamah, you will be amongst those who you like. You like a certain class of people, you join them in this world. Yes, we cannot manage up and cope up to the good actions of the great awliya. They stand up the whole night in ibadat, fasting throughout the year. So we can't do at their level. But we try. Do our faraz, do our sunnahs, how much we can reach, we'll do that much. But look at the grace and the bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, of course you like them, you joined up with them, you tried and appear like them. So because of your trying, appearing like them, being with them in their company, the right company, etc. On the day of Qiyamah, you are grouped with that class of people. Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. But if you don't, and just carry on, then in a few days, then you are losing your values. Right? So when you lose your values, then Allah Pak says, تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الظَّالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ. So you know it was a wrong place. Your deen was under attack. Then why didn't you leave? Why didn't you leave? Now it's a time of death, and the malaika have come to take away the souls. So the malaika is asking, but you knew this place is not right. It was filled with haram, immorality, immodesty, sort of haram taking place. Then what made you be in such a place? قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ. Some of them will say, no, but we didn't have the means, you know, to travel. أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِيَةً وَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. But there was a lot of vastness on earth. You could have traveled to a safety zone which would have been conducive for your respect, for your integrity, for your shame and dignity, and for the children. It could have been much more conducive for your religion. There would be someone that is encouraging you, he's applying deen himself, and he's encouraging you. Instead of going to such places, you went to such places that negatively impacted on your religion, on your integrity, on your respect, etc. A child would think, hey, my Abba, why is he in this type of a place with such indecent character, behavior, etc.? But why my father is here? He speaks about shame, etc. elsewhere. But here today, why is he around this type of an atmosphere? So the child is having reservations, and in the meanwhile, you're creating a split personality for the child. Psychologically, the child is going to have problems. Because on one moment, you're trying, don't do these things here, and then you are in the midst of this whole thing. So the malaika also, if that person died in that type of a situation, they ask him, فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِيَةً فَتُهَاجِ. You should have moved out. So Allah Pak says, this problem for such a person. This problem for such a person, because he knew he was not supposed to be hanging around in such a place at such a time. Now we know what happens in the beaches. Can we control the culture, the dressing, the ways, the mannerisms, can we control it? Now, then what forces us to be around that? Here, the Quran Sharif says, فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الزِّكْرَ مَعَ الْقُومِ الظَّالِمِينَ. You're not supposed to be sitting around such people. They know it's wrong, you know it's wrong. But you are being selective in your approach. It was drugs, you say, no, keep away. But when it was indecent behavior, and this time of the year, then you say, no, it's all right, let's overlook it. So this type of picking and choosing, that is not the way of Islam. We need to recognize what time of the year this is, the evil that is going on, the problems that you come across, and then you can also become a victim. There's a fight there, and someone pulls out a gun. Someone is drunken, and he's driving, and you also want to celebrate. And something happens to you or to your child, then what? Sometimes it's an unforgettable experience that you go through. Your child is affected, you are affected, someone else is affected. But then you have regrets, and it's too late thereafter to be crying. May Allah give us tawfiq.